I do, so give me a break a little bit. Well, hey, it's wonderful to be with you guys. I'm happy to be here, excited to be here. A little nervous this morning. Miss Ethel told me just to picture all of yins naked, and I said, I can't do that. My parents are here, so got to have a little bit of a different tactic today, but I'm excited to be here. Thank you, Pastor Brent. Guys, I've loved being here for 6 years, and it's mainly because of that dude right there. He's allowed me to be me. He's allowed me to grow. He's given me opportunity, and I'm thankful today to once again get opportunity. So thank you, Pastor Brent. Thank you, Pastor Melissa. We do love you guys, and hopefully I still have a job after this. So we're going to find out. You know, a few people heard I was preaching this morning, and they told me, congratulations, we're getting out of church early today. So sitting in the back, I added a couple extra personal stories. The goal's an hour and a half. You guys got time for that, right? Come on. Yeah. We had to feed you first to make sure you knew you had to stay. All right, so. Well, I got a question for you guys today. How many of you have ever been on a diet before? Or tried to diet? Come on. How many of you have ever cheated on a diet before? Come on. Everybody raise your hand. Let's see it. You ever cheated on a diet before? It's easy to cheat on a diet because when you're on a diet, everything around you looks good. And I'll never forget a few years ago, me, Pastor Mike, and Pastor Brent, we're going out to eat. And I'm going to say something controversial here. You can't eat Mexican in Bolivar. It's not good. So we were consistently traveling to the north side of Springfield to eat out, at least what used to be good, a wonderful restaurant called El Poblano, and it was the day I'd started my diet. I was really excited, you know, put on a little bit of marriage weight, just a little bit, had to get rid of some of it. And so we're eating, and if you've ever eaten with Pastor Mike before, he gets every appetizer on the menu, the cheese dips are large, everything's fried, it looks good. And I sat there majority of the lunch saying, you know what, I'm going to be good. So I ordered a Chipotle chicken salad. I was really excited for it, and I got it, and it was pretty good. And really, I plugged it all into my little calorie calculator, and it was everything I needed. If I ate just that, I should have been full. But I sat there, I ate my salad, and I look over at Pastor Mike. He's sitting there chugging down queso and chips and salsa. And Brent's over there eating his fajitas. And eventually, I caved in. All right, I had everything I needed. But dang, that chips and salsa, that chips and queso looked so good. And I was already full, but I added more on top of it that I didn't need. And so today I've titled this sermon, Full. And as we're continuing in the book of Colossians, as we're jumping into book chapter 2, it's important to understand that in the history of the church that time, Christianity is rapidly spreading to all different areas of the earth. And often that caused major issues at these churches because Christianity was so drastically different than the religions they were used to in that time. And so often you would find Paul writing letters to these churches and correcting what they were doing because there was mixing of religions, there was misunderstanding on theological purposes. And so pretty much if you got a letter from Paul, it was like getting a letter from the IRS, all right? It never means you're doing anything good. And so Pastor Brent's done a great job the last 2 weeks getting us to the intro of the letter, but today we're getting to the kind of the guts of what Paul is writing for today. The main theme of this book is that Jesus is supreme. And Paul's going to lay that out for us today. You see, the church in Colossae was going through something similar that I was going through at El Poblano that day. There's something to step on there. Come on. They were already full, but yet they were trying to add stuff on top of what their faith was supposed to be. And so we're going to jump into the three main themes of Colossians 2, and I'll wrap it up. And I'm hoping to be out of here by about 12:30, 1 o'clock. Does that work for everybody? We got water, snacks in the bag. Look for the nearest mom. There's Malia. She's got some granola bars back in there. The first theme of Colossians chapter 2, it's in Colossians 2, 6 through 7 we're going to be, but continue in Christ as you have received him. So then, just as you received Christ as Lord, walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith just as you were taught. Paul is setting up this letter saying, you didn't earn Jesus, you received him by faith. So keep walking in him in that way. The church in Colossae had received Jesus. And what Paul is starting off with is saying, you've received Jesus, you haven't earned Jesus, continue to walk in Jesus. I love the way Paul starts off in this chapter. He starts off real nicely, real softly, and then we're going to see in a little bit, he's going to smack him in the back of the head. But I love that verse. The three words I love in that verse. Number one, rooted. Paul wanted them to be rooted like a tree with deep roots in Christ. I started off good with rooted. I couldn't do it with roots. Sorry. Built up, rooted, built up like a building growing on a solid foundation and established. Paul is starting off saying, continue to walk in Christ. As you're walking in Christ, you're going to be rooted, built up, and established. What Paul wanted them to understand is that Jesus isn't the start of our faith journey, but he is our faith journey. There is one way to the Father, and that is through Jesus Christ. Paul is already establishing these things, and in this early part of the chapter, he's saying, Christ is supreme, Christ is all that you need. But now we're getting to the chips and salsa. Come on. The second major theme in this chapter, don't be taken captive. Don't be taken captive. The church at Colossae was being taken captive by things they did not need in their faith journey. They're having some add-ons to their Christianity. We see in Colossians 2, chapter 8 through 10, it says, see it that no one takes captive through hollow, deceptive philosophy. See, the church was growing rapidly. The church is being established in all these different areas. But I'm not going to say that there was good leadership vastly throughout the churches. And so when you have these major, major issues rise up in these churches, they cause these massive, massive theological debates. Some of the churches, or some of the people there, were only used to monotheistic religions. One God, would have been the Jews. Some of them thought everything should be polytheistic. And then they're trying to figure out, what does the Trinity mean? And it caused these debates to go on in their church, and these big questions were being asked. Do we keep Jewish laws and tradition? How do we interact with the supernatural? Some people believed in what Jesus did on the cross, but they were devaluing what he did. And sometimes we have philosophy getting interjected into Christianity. It's making something distorted and twisted. What we see in the church of Colossae is there's two major things being preached. One, dead religion. Dead religion is following rules or performing rituals to impress God. There's no relationship. The second thing we see is a sense of false spirituality or seeking mystical experiences in order to encounter God. Paul is saying, Jesus is all we need. They were offering special rules, extra spiritual steps, philosophies that sounded deep but weren't based on Christ or the chasing of spiritual experiences. Paul says in verse 9, in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. In Christ you have been brought to fullness. Church, we are full in Christ. You don't need upgrades to your salvation. You don't need chips and salsa. You don't need add-ons. Jesus is the fullness of God, and you were full when you encountered him. Moving on to our third theme today. Don't let anyone judge you or disqualify you. Verse 17, says, these are a shadow of the things that were to come. The reality is found in Christ. We're going to dive deeply into three different things that Paul calls out here. But I want you to understand ahead of time is all of these things are a shadow. A shadow is behind you. They were a glimpse of what was to come when they started. And so Paul now addresses three major issues going on in the church. Number one, legalism. Don't eat that. Don't drink that. Keep this festival. And all of it was in the church was, if you didn't follow the law exactly, if you weren't keeping tight to the law all the time, you were no longer saved. And it was creating this boundary over what got you into the kingdom of Christ. I'm going to quote the great reformer today, Mr. Martin Luther. This is one of my favorite quotes of all time. Feel free to write it down. If ever a monk got to heaven for being monkier, it was I. Meaning, as a monk, he followed all the rules. What Martin Luther came to find out is that following the rules, or trying to follow the rules, was never going to be enough. Because the law was given to us, not so that we knew how to act, but to show us how much we needed Jesus. Now, I'm not saying we don't follow the laws. I'm not saying we sin. What I'm saying, though, is there's something about holding so tightly about following the rules that it disregards what Christ wants to do in your own life. The second thing he brings up is mysticism. And a lot of you are probably saying, don't worry, Pastor Clayton, I don't cast any spells or do anything weird. But worshiping angels, chasing visions, looking to feel something deeper. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm a Pentecostal. I believe in the move of the Holy Spirit. But sometimes we get a little too spiritual about things. We're too busy chasing after supernatural experiences instead of just chasing after Jesus. Oftentimes we look at our own life and we look at these spiritual experiences in our life or in our neighbor's life as a litmus test on what our standing is with God. So not only was this church having problems with worshiping angels, but they were constantly chasing supernatural experiences. Now, I believe in supernatural experiences. But what I think Paul is telling us today is don't be chasing after them. Chase after Jesus, and those things are going to come on their own. Stop chasing the spiritual highs. So many times I see as we send kids to kids camp or youth camp, that 1 week out of the year is where they feel close to God, and they come back and they just dive off the deep end. They go back and they go up on this another high again, and we just do this roller coaster every year. Stop getting spiritual highs. Your faith is more than a feeling. It's more than an experience. It is simply your relationship with Jesus Christ. Chase after him. Pastor, do I got some permission to step on some toes for a second? You know how many times I've heard, I couldn't enjoy worship this morning. Just wasn't my style. That's chasing after a spiritual experience. I couldn't enjoy worship this morning because Joe Blow wasn't singing, and he really ushers in the Spirit of God. It's simply about chasing after Jesus. As the great theologian Boston once said, it's more than a feeling. Instead, it is faith and trust in what God has done for us. And the third thing we're going to talk about today, probably going to butcher this, asceticism. Asceticism is the ultra-negative side of legalism. Paul talks about it in verse 21, 23. Don't handle, don't taste, don't touch. Asceticism is a severe self-discipline and avoidance of all forms of indulgence for religious reasons. It undermines the sufficiency of Christ as the perfect sacrifice. Real transformation comes from Christ alone, not self-imposed suffering. We've already established, we on our own cannot fulfill the law. That's why we needed a Savior. Paul says in verse 23, they lack any value in restraining sensual indulgence. In other words, they can't change your heart. Only Jesus can. You're probably saying, Pastor Clayton, this church sounds crazy. How does this have anything to do with me today? And unfortunately, I think a lot of these things, when I read through Paul's letters, are problems we still have in the modern day church. And I couldn't be a kids pastor if I didn't bring out some kind of demonstration today. This is how I view the church majority of the time. These X's are people, and this circle is a boundary. Too often, we put up man-made boundaries on what is acceptable and what makes you a Christian. These can be doctrinal, they can be moral, they can be behavioral. But if you study church history, what you end up finding out is that they just keep adding more boundaries and more boundaries and more boundaries until it becomes almost impossible to be a Christian because there's so many boundaries set up, there's so many add-ons, they've lost sight of what's really important. I'm missing something in this drawing. Can anybody tell me what it is? Jesus. Sometimes the church is so known for what we're against, what isn't okay, that we put up so many boundaries that we don't even have Jesus at the center of our faith. I'm going to talk about some mathematics here. You guys like mathematics? My parents are sitting here saying, you are a straight C student in math. Also, if the worship team wouldn't mind coming up. In mathematics, this here is called a center set. Do I have any mathematicians in here? Good, I didn't want to get it wrong, and someone's going to roast me after. This here is what we call a center set. In a center set, it isn't about being inside the boundary. Instead, it's about being close to the boundary. So in the middle, we have Jesus. And Christians would be ones that are close to the boundary, or at least heading in the right direction. You see, you can be saved, grown up in the church, you know all the law, you know what God's asked us to do, but you're growing further and further away from Christ. But someone who's been far away their entire life can be going towards Christ in the center set. What Paul wants us to understand today, guys, Jesus is enough. Jesus is all we need. I'm not saying laws are bad. I'm not saying supernatural experiences are bad. I'm not saying revivals are bad. What I'm saying is simply this. If our faith is centered on anything else except for relationship and chasing after Jesus, then we're not doing it the right way. Paul's telling us that Christ is sufficient, and a relationship with Christ, accepting Him as our personal Lord and Savior, is all that we need. Stay focused on Christ. The rest is going to come with it. I want to jump back into chapter 1 really quick. Verses 11 through 14, it says, being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son. in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. I love this passage because these four words that are said in past tense, delivered, transferred, I like that word, transferred, redemption, and forgiveness. Everyone would mind standing with me today. Church, I want you to know today, Christ is enough for you. His sacrifice is sufficient. He is supreme, and Scripture is clear. If you confess with your mouth and believe it in your heart that Jesus is Lord, you will be saved. But I want to ask you today, what are you getting full on? Because too often we like to cheat on our spiritual diet. We chase after the wrong things when we're not chasing after Jesus. We may have people in this room today that have grown up in the church. You did junior Bible quiz as a kid. You know all the answers, but you've been drifting away from Christ for year after year after year. Or maybe you're the person who couldn't be farther away from God, but you've met Him as your Savior. Maybe you've never encountered God's love before. Jesus wants to draw you near to Him. I'm going to close with a scripture verse. And I want to encourage you guys. We're going to close with a song today. If the Lord is speaking to your heart today, I want you to come to this altar while we close this song. Maybe you've been drifting away and God wants to call you back in close to Him. Maybe you've never encountered Jesus, and it's simple. Come to this altar, confess with your mouth, and believe it in your heart that Jesus is Lord, and you will be saved, and you can continue to chase after Him. I want to read this verse. We're going to sing one more song, and I want to encourage you guys. Come to these altars today. Continue to chase after Jesus, because He is all we need. Chapter 2, verse 6 and 7 says, so then, just as you received Jesus Christ as Lord, continue to live your lives in Him, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with faithfulness. Dearly Father God, I thank you for your word today, Lord. I pray that you encounter us at the altars today, God. God, I pray that you encourage us to seek after you.